Dr. Farrell, you come. We're so glad to have you here this morning. We're so glad that we know that the message that you've preached for so long is that message that we just sang this morning. Thank you for being here. Look forward to what God has for us today.
My joy. Well, good morning, Buffalo Ridge. It is a thrill to be back and see so many of you people that I have seen once, twice, 300 or 400 times. I'm not sure how many by now. But it's always a joy to come and yoke up with the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. How many of you brought the book this morning? If you've got the book, hold it up. Push it back and forth. We just stuck it in the devil's face. Amen? Open it, please, to the book of James this morning. And go with me to chapter number 4. I'm so glad for your good pastor. We're just getting to know each other. We visited by telephone, but he sure looks better in person, I can tell you that. That's what your wife told me to say. Amen. Now, I trust that this will be a good week for you. How many of you have to work second shift? Any second shift workers here? Got one over there, one over there. And one over here. All right, now you're dismissed. You don't have to be here. But if you could come and you don't come, cursed on you. That's all I can say. But plan to be with us if you possibly can. Be with us in the evening service tonight. Is it at 6, Pastor? 6:30 tonight right here in this building. By the way, I don't know who all joined forces in getting this beautiful What do you call this thing? Gymnasium? Well, it's a gym, a preaching-nasium now. And I'm always glad to be in a place where you come creatively and present something to God. I hope that you'll be here service after service. My wife will be in the next service. And she will be with us all week long. We've been looking forward to coming back here. Some of you have wondered, tell me please about what happened to you and your wife. In 2018, my wife and I were in Cocoa Beach, Florida. I knew she wasn't feeling well, and I told her Sunday night, I said, you stay here. I said, tomorrow I'm going to take you to the ER. Oh, no. I said, oh, yeah, we're going to the ER. And we pulled in, and amazingly enough, we were the only people there that morning, at least for an hour or so. And the doctor came out and he said, I got to take another test. There's something I'm seeing I don't like. And he came back a second time. He said, your wife has blood cancer. And I said, tell me how bad it is. And he told me, and he said, we got a place for her in the hospital. I have an oncologist coming. I said, whoa, back up. I said, this is the first time I have heard the word cancer used with my wife. I live about an hour and a half from here. He said, go home. Get you a doctor at home and stay home as long as necessary. So we went home and found us a doctor, and that's another story in itself. On the way home, I was making phone calls. I can see her in 6 weeks. I can see her in 8 weeks. I said, she'll be in heaven in 8 weeks. And I said, I've got to have some help. So I called my daughter, who had just gotten back from England on Saturday night. And she said, God, I'm back. What do you want me to do now? This was Saturday night, and I called her Monday. I guess that's a pretty quick answer. And she said, well, I'm coming. But she said, I'm going to call somebody. And I had a feeling who it was a nurse she went to school with and who actually was working in our hometown in Florida at that time. Nonetheless, she showed up on Monday night. Now, she just got back from England on Saturday night. She showed up at our place on Monday night. She said, hi, Dad. I guess you know who I am. You know why I'm here, and I'm staying here as long as Mom needs me. And I said, well, you can stay as long as I let you. And she said, that'll be as long as God needs me. And I said, okay. And she had gotten us an appointment. Now, you have to understand, when you call around and you can't get an appointment for 6, 8, 10 weeks, it's not a pleasant experience. But we actually called in on Monday, and on Tuesday, we were seen by an oncologist who appointed me to another oncologist because he did certain kinds of work. And we were in the hospital, and she stayed in the hospital for 100 days, if you can imagine. Well, that got rid of the cancer. Thank God for that. And all God's people said, well, y'all are slow this morning, but you're getting there. And then they said, now she's going to have a bone marrow transplant. And I had already heard him say that. And he said, we're still looking. We don't have the right transplant yet. Well, a couple of weeks later, they called and said, we got your transplant. And so she's going to come back in. And she had to stay near the hospital. We live an hour and a half from the Orlando hospital. She had to stay near the hospital for 30 minutes. That's as far away as she could be. Preacher friend of mine came over and he said, I heard about your plight. He said, we've got your plight figured out. You're staying in our mission house. We've got it all fixed up. I said, you can't do that. He said, you can't tell me what to do. I pastor this church. And I said, okay, we'll go with you then. We'll go your way. And she stayed over there for 100 days. And with the exception of some problems with her eyes, which are getting a little better every day, she is doing better on every single day. And all God's people said, amen. 2 years later, I called my wife and I said, honey, I'm having some problems. I'm not exactly sure what it is. She went with me to a meeting that was supposed to go Sunday to Wednesday 2 years ago. Or last year was 2020, and everybody knows what was going on in March of 2020. You got that one down. And so they closed the meeting on Sunday night. All of our meetings go Sunday to Wednesday, but they closed our meeting on Sunday night and said, no more meetings going Sunday to Wednesday. And I said, okay, I'll sleep in. Pastor came over and he said, I'm so sorry. He said, I've waited for years to have you, and I'm glad that you were able to at least be here twice. The next morning we got up a little bit later because I was wore out. And all of a sudden we had our RV and we were getting ready to pull out, and in front of us comes the pastor and the assistant in two different automobiles and pulled right in front of my RV. Got out and said, you can't leave this parking lot without your son's permission. I said, oh, that's not nice. And he called you and told you that, I assume. He said, yeah, he doesn't think you're doing real well. And I said, well, the truth is I'm not doing real well. And yesterday, I think you could even notice that. And he said, yeah, we noticed it. But I thought maybe he's just having some indigestion or something like that. So nonetheless, he said, he wants you to go to an ER. And so I said, well, I'll pull my RV back where I had it parked, and I'm going to get in your car, and you're going to take me, because my son will be here in a few hours, and sure enough, he was. I got in by 1 o'clock, and I got out the next morning at 1:30 a.m. Near as I can count, it's 12 and a half hours. You don't want to be in an ER for 12 and a half hours, I assure you. They came to me and they said, we don't know how to tell you this, but you have brain cancer. I said, oh, okay. And I started laughing. He said, did you hear what I said? I said, yeah, I heard you. You said, I have brain cancer. I said, if you think you're going to interrupt my broadcast on the way to heaven, you're dead wrong. I said, I've been planning since I was 5 years of age to go to the other side. If God wants to come get me today, that's his business. And he said, well, he may not today, but it can't be long if something doesn't happen. And he said, you need to get this taken care of. I said, I will, but I'm not going to get it taken care of here. I'm going home with my son to his house, which is in Lexington, North Carolina. And I'm going over to the hospital that when I was a kid, Pastor, I used to go over there, 5, 6, 7-year-old kid, and say, if I ever get cancer, I'm coming here. God listens real well, I can tell you that. It's a few years down the road. But we went over and got in, and the guy says, yeah, you need cancer. And we could probably get 75% of it, but that's about all we can get. And I started laughing. He said, did you hear what I said? I said, I heard you. And you're not going to interrupt my broadcast on the way to heaven. If God wants to come get me today or tomorrow before we start surgery, that's his business. By the way, some of you look at me like, you know, this could happen to me. Yeah, you better learn a few lessons because it could happen to you. I never thought it happened to me, but it did. Well, we went in, had surgery, had chemo, had radiation. And as of, what is today, 15th? 14th. As of today, I'm 14 days short of the day I had surgery. And the last time I went in was 2 weeks ago, and the doctors are shaking their head. They're saying, we don't get you. you are better than you've ever been. You are just doing great. We don't understand all that. I said, talk to the King of the Ages. His name is Jehovah Rapha. And he heals anybody that needs to be healed. And so he said, well, you don't have to come back see us for 3 months. I said, fine, 6 months will be better the next time. So all of a sudden we're doing better. And all God's people said, so that's the reason I'm here. And having said all that, please stand for the reading and teaching of the Word of the Living God. I'm in James chapter 4, verses 13 and following. The Bible says, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such a city and attend to their year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I want to call your attention, please, to a question in verse 14. It says, for what is your life? What is your life? Thank you very much. You may be seated. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and all the things that have happened here through the years. Thank you for what you're going to do this morning. If there's anybody in this building who's not saved, they're in church but not in Christ, show them the difference between religion and a relationship. And help them this morning to understand and trust you. For all of us that name the name of Jesus, may we understand that you wrote this book for us. May we never be the same for understanding who you are and why you wrote this book. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is a living book written by a living God that teaches you and me how to live life. If you believe the Bible, then you understand it teaches two kinds of life. It teaches us about earthly life and how we got here, and it teaches us about eternal life and how to get from here into the kingdom of God. All those who believe the Bible understand that God is the creator of this world. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life, or into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became the living soul. Without their God, there is no human life. God is the author of life. He's also the one that made us for eternal life. And your faith in him, when you receive him and he receives you, puts you in a condition that you've never been in it before. That condition means that you are now ready to spend eternity with Jesus Christ, who made you physically and is making you now continually spiritually, and you can walk with him. In this passage of Scripture, he asks us three questions about life. Number one, what is the duration of your life? If you look down, you'll notice in verse 13, go to now you that say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's a vapor. Now that's an interesting word, a vapor. It's moisture. It's a puff of smoke that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. What he's simply saying is this. The life that God made for us is short. Now, if you thought you're going to live a long time, you can be as old as a man that I know who's in a male nursing home having the time of his life because his health is great and he's winning people to Jesus. I said, how's he doing? He said, well, his pastor said last time he talked to him, he led 78 people to Jesus Christ in the nursing home. That's not bad for a guy that's going to heaven and taking 78 more people with him. For those of you that are sitting here saying, uh-oh, I believe it's coming. It's coming. And for those of you who've been sitting around waiting for the pastor to be here, he's here. Amen. And if you're waiting for somebody to follow, you can follow him. I got here early this morning and we were already talking about what God wants to do. Genesis 47:9, Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of my pilgrimage have been 130 years. Do you know anybody that old? I don't. But like the man who was 107 He's still leading people to Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3, as the Lord lives and my soul lives, there's one step between me and death. One step between me and flying through outer space into the presence of Jesus Christ, if indeed you have been born again. Job 7 verses 6 and 7, my days upon earth are a pilgrimage. They're just a short time here. Job 14:1, man born of woman's a few days and full of trouble. Psalm 89:47, oh, remember how short my time is. We talk about the singleness of life. Have you seriously considered the shortness of life? This past week where I was, a man passed on Tuesday. It happens every Tuesday of every week somewhere in this old world. It's short, but it's also single. This man did not get two lives, he got one. You don't die, and God said, well, you got close. Let me give you another 25 years. I think you can do better. Once you're dead, you're dead. And for those of you that just kind of woke up and said, man, he's right. When I'm gone, I'm gone. There is no rerun on life. I remind myself of that every single day that I put my feet on the floor, because I'm supposed to be in heaven. But you're not going to heaven until God's done. And evidently he wasn't done with me, so I'm just staying around so I can afflict you. Amen. Now my question is, who are you afflicting? Who are you inflicting? Who are you caring enough about to give the simple plan of God's salvation? The Bible says your life is single. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, David's little boy died. He said, why then should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I'll go to him, but he will not come back to me. The Bible tells us in the book of Job, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 19, as one dieth, so dieth the other. They all have one breath. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die. Did you get that phrase, once to die? You don't die, and God said, you know, I took you out about 2 months too early. Let me give you 2 months more. You don't get a return on your life. Once to die, and after this, the judgment. I hate to tell you, but it doesn't make any difference what your last name is. You could be George and Barbara Bush, but they died in 218. You can be John McCain, who also died in 218. You can be any name, any person on planet Earth that has had a good reputation and still go into eternity. What is your life? First of all, what is the duration of your life? Second of all, what is the declaration of your life? He said, go to now you that say or declare, it's a vapor. What is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, I'm in verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. What he's saying is you can live for you or you can live for Jesus. For those of you that thought you were living for both, you're not. Because you're either dedicated fully and totally with all of your being to the Lordship of Jesus, or you're just playing church. And the last thing you want to do is play church. It could be this week, one or two of you may pass away and go to heaven. All you have in heaven is what you've sent ahead. If you didn't send anything ahead, you don't have anything there. You got there because of the grace of God. But you're not there because of all you did for Jesus, but of what he did for you. So the question is, what are you doing for the cause of Christ? Two ways to live life. One, the way I want to live it. Two, the way God wants me to live it. One, God, what do you want me to do? Two, this is what I plan to do. In the Bible, you'll find two people that live life that way. One was a very wealthy farmer. He had so many crops and things that he talked to himself. He said, what am I going to do with all this produce that I have? I know what I'll do. I'll tear these small barns down and I'll build some bigger barns. And I'll say, eat, drink, and be merry. God interrupted his broadcast and said, you're a fool. By the way, if I call you a fool, you have every right to be mad at me because I don't know all of you. But if God calls you a fool, you better listen because he knows all of you, every detail of your life. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be? The Apostle Paul didn't live life for himself. He lived life for Jesus. He said in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. In other words, all of life is centered in Jesus. And to die is more Christ. That's what the word means. I'll spend more time with him. I'll see him more. I'll pray more. I'll sing more. He also said in Luke 22:27, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Or that was Joshua. But he said, for me to live is Christ. Now the question is, how much are you living for Jesus? When you stop and think about your life and all the things that God has allowed you to do with your life, how much of it has counted for eternity? Psalm 211 says, serve the Lord with fear. And it doesn't mean this, it means this. The first thing I do every morning when I get up is salute the King of the ages. Lets him know I'm available for whatever he wants to do, for however long he wants to do it. Psalm 100 and verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. When's the last time you sang on the way to the shower? You said, wake up my wife. Wake her up. Amen. She needs to get up singing too. And if you're so afraid that you're going to wake her up, that she get up and be mad, you got a bad household. Truth of the matter is, we all need to be singing and praising God. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is going to go to the lion's den. The king says to him, don't fear. The God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, no man can serve two masters. He'll hate one, love the other, hold the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. I was preaching in a church some years ago, and the pastor took me out to eat. He said, I want to tell you a story, just don't tell where you got it. I never have told exactly where I got it. I got within the realm of it, but I didn't ever tell exactly what church I got it out of. He said, on a Sunday night, the richest man in our little town came. Said he never had been in our church, but everybody knew him. He drove the biggest car, had the biggest farm. He was a lawyer. I didn't realize this, but he'd gone to the hospital for 5 open heart surgeries, or for 5 surgeries of 1 open heart. And when he came out, he was a different man. He said, when I woke up from surgery, I laid there and I thought to myself, if I had died under that doctor's knife, right now instead of being laying here, I'd be in hell. And he said, the last place in the world I want to go is hell. He said, when I was a boy, I heard the preacher preach on heaven, and I said, I don't want to go. I'm not interested. But I tell you one thing, you ever get 5 bypasses, you get real interested. He said, I bowed my unworthy head, and I said, Jesus, I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to live there for all eternity. But I want to come to your heaven, and I repent of my sin and invite you to come live in my life. And he said, I've been a saved, born-again believer ever since. This is the 3rd church that I've been in the last 3 weeks. And he said, God has saved me, and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Everybody was wowed. But 2 days later, he died. And all God got of that man's life that could actually be useful was 3 weeks. And the rest of his life was a waste. Number 1, what is the duration of your life? It is short and single. Number 2, what is the declaration of your life? Selfless or selfish? Number 3, and finally, what's the destination of your life? What happens when your life is finished? Is all done? You served everybody you're going to serve. You ministered to everybody you can minister to, and God says, okay. You're 59, I'm going to take you home. You're 65, I'm going to take you home. You're 75, I'm going to take you home. Some of you look like you're 115, but that's okay. God will still take you home. And the truth of the matter is, you've got to get ready, because one of these days we are going to meet God. Job 14:10, but man dies and wastes away. I mean, man gives up the ghost. And where is he? Think of that question. Where is he? If you had to die today, and God had already told you when you came to church that at 2 o'clock this afternoon you'd be gone, are you ready? Are you ready to go and meet Jesus and kneel at his feet? He's going to show you what he did for you. Are you ready to show him what you did for him? None of us die for our own sins unless you don't get saved. But if you get saved, your sin is under the blood of Jesus Christ, who was dead, buried, raised again the third day, so that you could walk with him every day. Take your Bible and go with me to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. And turn with me to chapter number 7 of the Gospel of Matthew. When you find Matthew chapter 7, I want to read to you two verses that have been read often, but sometimes not with the right emphasis. In verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Matthew 7:13, "For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." You ever heard anybody say there's 3 or 4 or 5 different ways to go to heaven? No, there's not. There's one way to go to heaven. Amen. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." If Jesus knew of any other way that people could have gone to heaven, why in the world did he come and die on the cross by himself? Because he was showing us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man goes to heaven but by Jesus. Now, you may have thought, well, there are other ways to get to heaven. What are they? Well, you don't realize how many good works I've done. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now, if Jesus ever looks at you and he says, "You know all those crazy thoughts you're having? None of them are right." Don't argue with him. He made heaven and he made hell. Why would you argue with the one who's the author of both heaven and hell? He wants you to come in, or you to allow him to come into your life and cleanse and forgive you. The question is, have you? His name is Larry. I was walking from the Sunday morning Sunday school place into the restroom, and I heard my name. "Hey, Dr. Farrell." I turned around. He said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Larry, I haven't seen you in years." He said, "You remember my name?" I said, "Yeah, I remember your testimony too." I said, "When people have testimonies like you have, I mark them down." I said, "Are you glad that on that Sunday night you took your wife home and came back?" He said, "Am I ever?" He came back and sat down with the pastor and me, and he said, "Let me tell you why I'm here. I'm not here just to have a little discussion. I came back to get saved." His pastor almost fell out of his chair. I didn't. I hear this all the time. He looked at us and he said, "I was a Lutheran and I was this and I was that. And I changed the Lutheran church and became a Baptist, but I never got saved." It's not the church you go to that takes you to heaven. It's the Christ you bow before that takes you to heaven. And you can go to any church you want to, but if you have that Christ, you're not going to heaven. I said, "Well, praise the Lord." He said, "By the way, I want to take you to play golf tomorrow." I said, "Fine. Who's paying?" He said, "I am." I said, "I'm going." So we went in, paid the dues, got on team number one, and he turned and looked at me, and he said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to bless God for all eternity for what he did for me. Before I start blessing him, I'm going to put in a good word for you. And I'm going to tell him the reason that I'm here is because this guy came and interrupted my religious broadcast. And by the way, if all you have is a religious broadcast, you're not going to heaven. It's not your religion. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ that makes the difference. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you ever met him at full pardon of sin? One night at Independent Baptist Church in North Carolina, a man stopped me and he said, I've got to take my wife home, but I'll be back. You and the pastor wait for me in an office. We talked and I said, well, maybe he's having some trouble on the job. He came in and sat down, took a look at me, and he said, I came back to tell you that I need to be saved. I said, Pastor, I've been in the church that you pastored on two different occasions. What do you mean you need to be saved? He said, well, you can be religious and not go to heaven. And I was religious, but I was not saved. I had never turned from my sin. By the way, repentance is a change of mind. And when you change your mind, God changes your life. And if you were taught that you change your life and then you get saved, you were taught wrong. You don't have anything to change your life with. You can make it better than it was in the old life, but you don't have anything to change your life with. He said, I've been under conviction. He said, actually, I've been under conviction for years. And I'd go home and I'd say, it'll go away, but it doesn't. He said, would you help me get saved? I led him to Jesus. He said, now let's go home. I want to tell my wife. We went home and he knocked on the door. She came. He went inside. He hugged his wife and he said, you now have a new born-again Baptist preacher for a husband. She began to sob. He said, are you glad for that? She said, I have been praying for years that you'd trade in your religion for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's very possible today that if you get saved, your wife or husband or parents will rejoice because you today belong to Jesus Christ. Three words and I'm done. Word number one, sin. Everybody say it. Sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you've never admitted to God that you were born a sinner, living a sinner, and if you died right now, you'd go to hell, then you don't understand salvation. Jesus did not come to die for people that are almost going to heaven. He came to die for all of us who are going to hell. Number two, there is the word separation. When you get saved by the grace of God, you're no longer separate from God. You're a part of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Luke 16:19, the Bible tells us that the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus, that I may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented, tortured in this flame. Have you ever seen your sin like that? And the final word is the word sacrifice. He who knew no sin. Jesus did not spend his time discussing sin. He spent his time discussing righteousness. And the only way you can be righteous is to come to Jesus and receive his righteousness, because it's the righteousness of a perfect man, a God man. The only God man who's ever lived that imputes to us that righteousness for our filthy, rotten souls. You say, preacher, you're really making this hard. I'm making it hard on purpose. You may have gone forward with your parents because you saw them going forward and you prayed what they prayed and you still have no idea what happened. You're lost. You may have prayed with your husband because you didn't want him to walk off and leave you, but you never meant it and you're still lost. And what you have to understand is not until you come to the place of total forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, which he shed on the cross for you and for me, do you have eternal life. So I'd like to ask you this morning, when did you see yourself as a sinner, deserving to go to hell? And understand there was only one person who could do anything about that, and that's Jesus Christ. And you turned from everything and everybody that had meant a whole lot to you in your lifetime, including your parents, who actually told you how to get saved, and you quit trusting them, and you put your trust in Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. This book tells you that there is a destination when you die. Can you take this book today, hold it up beside your face, smile at God and say, "You come anytime you're ready, I'm ready to go when you want to get me." If you can't, then this morning is your time, because I'm going to give you a chance to repent and believe the gospel. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you for all He is and all that He does. Thank you that He wants everybody saved, and everybody that comes by faith can be saved. Now, we're bowed before the Lord. Let me warn you lovingly not to lie. I don't know you. I can't climb inside you. You can be the best person at church and the worst person on your job, and I would not know it. But God does. And the last thing you want to do is lie to God, because He knows every lie that comes out of your mouth. And every lie that comes out of your mouth adds to your torture in the regions of the damned. Don't lie to God. How many of you could say and prove from your Bible, if I died today, there's no doubt in my mind I'd go straight to heaven, and I can prove that from the book of life and show it to Jesus. Now be careful. If you can't prove that and show that to Jesus, don't raise your hand. But if you can prove that and show that to Jesus, would you raise your hand real high? Just hold it up real high and leave it there. Thank you. Take it down. Now, just in case you didn't raise your hand, and some of you did not, this is your moment to repent and believe the gospel. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray a sentence. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray silently. Again, to pray silently between you and God. And tell Him exactly what I said that you need to tell Him if you're going to be saved. Then I'll pray the next sentence and you pray it silently. And I'll pray the next sentence. And when we're finished, if you prayed it a minute today, God will enter your life, cleanse you from your sin, make you a brand new person in Christ Jesus. If you could not raise your hand, if you don't have a Bible assurance that you're on your way to heaven, pray after me silently and sincerely this simple prayer. Here it is. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a filthy sinner. I deserved all eternity in hell. Today I repent of my sin. I put all of my confidence in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I now receive the gift of eternal life. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for saving me. Help me never to be ashamed of what you just did for me. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer this morning and meant what you prayed, you're now in the family of God. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My eyes are open. Everybody else's eyes in this building are closed. I'd love to pray for you, and I don't name you. but I can pray for you. If in a moment you raise your hand, and when I see it, I'll say thank you. And I'll know today was your day to receive Jesus Christ. If you prayed with me today and you asked God to come in your life, if you prayed with me today and you asked God to come in your life, right now, please raise your hand. Just hold it straight up and I'll look for it. Straight up and I'll look for it. Anywhere in this first service, pray for me. Pray for me. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. Now, I want you to go back to January 1, 2021. And I want you to come up to this day in March, the 14th day, and answer this question. Have you put Jesus Christ first in your life for the last 2.5 months? First in your day, first in your desires, first in your decisions, first in your giving, first in your going. You don't have to look back over 2.5 months and say, oops. Because for the last 2.5 months, Jesus Christ has been number one in your life. If that's really true about you and you could raise your hand and you believe Jesus would agree with you, would you raise your hand right now to the Jesus who knows? Just leave it there for just a moment. Just a moment. All right, now will everybody look up here, please? I'm going to tell you something even your pastor is going to be shocked at. If I doubled what I saw, that would be 8. Preacher, I'm just telling you what I saw. I don't even know which 8 you are. But that's all. How many Sundays have you stood when the pastor gave an invitation and not moved? When was the last time a tear came down your cheek because you had offended the God who gives you your next breath? How long has it been since Jesus said, come after me, and you said, yes, sir? How many of you would say, preacher, God spoke to my heart today and I realize I have but one short, single life. And I'm really not pouring it into people. I'm really not pouring it into organizations. I'm existing, not excelling. I wasn't one of those 8 people. But I'm one this morning that would like to say to Jesus, I want to start being different because I don't have much life left. Please pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand with mine? Just hold it straight up. Just straight up all over the building. It's great. We're going to sing one stanza. Somebody asked me at the last church, why do you sing one stanza? I said, did God speak to you? Yes. I said, so what are you debating over? Yeah, that's what some of you are thinking. What am I debating over? The pastor is coming. He's going to stand right here. And as he comes, he's going to wait for you to come around. And he's going to pray with you, closing the service. And you're going to be glad you came because part of the burden that's been on you for a long time is going to be gone. Or you can simply stay right there and do nothing. And he can pray and we'll take the offer. Just as I am, play the 4th chord. Now let's sing Just as I Am. And if God spoke to you as he spoke to many of you today, I want you to leave your seat and come and stand with this good pastor. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood. God, I come. Well, as we pray together today, may the words that you've heard this morning not soon leave your minds and our hearts, and may we remember that we do live every day before Him.
Everybody's got a testimony. Some of us have a bad one, some of us have a good one. But all of us are living our life. The question is, are we living it for Jesus Christ? So let's pray together. Father, thank you for this crowd that's here this morning. Lord, I thank you for the intents of their heart. And I pray, dear Lord, that me and them and, Lord, those that we could stand together and give our lives for you. Lord, I have no doubt what we will wish when we see you, what we will then wish that we had done. So, Lord, we'll think it then. Thank you for bringing it to our mind now. And I pray that we would live from now till then with this thought on our heart to please you. Put you first. As Brother Farrell said, Lord, may we salute and report for duty regularly and first. Thank you, Lord. And bless it now to be so in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you may be seated or head back to your seat, Miss Carmen will play something through. Well, I want to thank each of you for being here today, and I want to thank you for your willingness to listen, to engage, and see what the Lord has for you. Now, Brother Farrell is in high demand as far as preaching out and everywhere, and it's hard to get him to come. But the Lord has so designed his schedule so that he could be here with us over the next 4 days. And so I want all of us just to simply say to the Lord, Lord, you do with me what you want to do. Really, that's just doing what we just said, but what we said sometime years ago possibly as well. And I'm asking you to change some things in your schedule if you need to, but just plan to be here this evening at 6:30, tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday at 7. And so that when we're able to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I open myself up completely. It'd be like us telling our wives, honey, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm in the garage before you tell me what you want, though. Hard to say you'll do whatever if you don't listen to her and or him or who whatever. But may we this week give this to the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me. Thank you for being in church this morning. Brother Farrell, thank you for being here with us. You are blessing us already, and we look forward to what God is going to do. And I want you to be back tonight, of course, to see his wife. And she'll be in the next service, but see his wife and then hear what the Lord has for us. Thank you again so much for being here. If you're a guest with us this morning, thank you so much. You are at a special time here at Buffalo Ridge. But if you are and you filled out the guest card on the side of your bulletin, Brother Daniel's back in the hallway, our little quasi-lobby, and he'd like to take that and give you a gift just for being our guest. But we want to say thank you for being here. Thank each of you for being here. God bless you. Say hello or say goodbye to a few people as you leave. You're dismissed.
Stars through the perilous fight, o'er the rise.